SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com, midweek, and still got quite a bit of recapping to do. And frankly, I probably could recap all 3 hours the next 3 days. But there's also plenty of things going on that we've got to, got to fold in, including 1 hour from now, the start of the yearling sales season. And Boyd Browning will join us from Phasing in about 15 minutes. We'll get a quick pre-sale blast in with Boyd and get a feel for the expectations and everything that goes along with the fairly unusual way in which the calendar was adjusted, and that included for Phasing the meshing of sales. And in fact, today the first hips, the first section, the New York breads that would have normally been sold at Saratoga. So we've got the Saratoga sales, we've got everything kind of shoved into these couple of days. And, you know, as mentioned yesterday, you just listened to Nicole Russo, actually. And for those that are follow on Twitter, about an hour ago, I put up the link to the DRF special section. And there's a lot there. Look forward to a visit from Sid as well. Top of our two Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and we'll talk to Sid about what he's hearing in terms of pre-sale and pre-Keeneland next week, the big box sale. You heard Baffert as well and Brad Cox talk about their efforts, their shopping, so these next couple of days, and we'll get some buzz from Sid. Look deeper at those first crop sires. We'll also get Sid's take on the weekend, particularly, of course, the Derby, what it means to Into Mischief, to get a classic winner, kind of rounding out his resume. And then, of course, the Daredevil Exacta in the Oaks. And Sid directed you that way. He was against Gamin and for the Daredevils. And I know that I saw where, questions were arising about the same story as the Will Take Charge. Do you go back and do you try to get him back? I don't know. Well, I will bring it up, though, and let Sid riff on that. And in addition, certainly can't bypass the opportunity to kind of celebrate for Hill and Dale, and hoping to catch up with John. John Secura might. It won't surprise me if John waits until after Queen's Plate, because he's notoriously superstitious, and knowing that I would bring up the plate and his opportunity there, but clearly for Hill and Dale, just an incredible achievement for Violence, who just continues to have a spectacular year. But the McLean's Music Grade One winner and Jackie's Warrior, who, the older division notwithstanding in the 3-year-olds, that was as impressive a performance as there was all weekend. But having quite notably Violence and McLean's Music at the grade one juveniles. And then you look at Not This Time and Nyquist getting the two grade one fillies. And so three of the, you know, particularly, the, well, particularly the first croppers, like, you know, like Vequist and Princess Noor. I mean, huge boost going into the sale, into both of these sales. So looking forward to a visit from Sid, Andy Serling later as well. And then we'll intersperse some trainer visits, such as possible, not just some. There's a lot of horsemen that are at the sale. So this is always, it's unusual that we have the Derby results, the Derby Oaks weekend results to include. So it's even, you know, little trickier, but it's not unusual that after, after the various, the certain points on the calendar when, we get through a weekend, and the sale starts at 10. So people that are still looking, at the hips and then those that are bidding in the ring. So we'll talk to Boyd, Seth Merrill later as well, and I'm expecting Brian Aragone. It is, of course, the start in a lot of ways, the Wednesday, the midpoint of the week. We've got Kentucky Downs today and tomorrow. I can't get Marty McGee until Friday, though. I was kind of hoping Marty would come in and do a little recapping of the weekend as well as a couple of opinions. So we'll save Marty's visit for Friday. But we'll figure out a way to look ahead to tomorrow and today action at Kentucky Downs. Big, deep, obviously. I mean, every card at Kentucky Downs, just, capacity fields and, the big pots and so forth. Today, you don't have, you've only got the one stake. You've got the Tappet. And then tomorrow, the three-year-olds. You got the Dueling Grounds Oaks and the Dueling Grounds Derby, and these monster pots. I mean, $750 for the Derby and $500 for the Oaks. Even today, the Tappet is $300,000. So unbelievable. And then when you look at, the allowances, the maiden specials, you've got older three and ups, as well as two-year-olds looking to graduate today, tomorrow, and certainly into the second half of the card. And I also want to remind everybody about the two-day handicapping contest. Brian Skirka, we should reach for Brian and slip him in as well, because the two-day contest that is going to crown a champion turf handicapping champion, as it were. So I want to give everybody the specifics on that. And actually, normally on Wednesdays, we're doing some contest recapping and contest success visits. Don't think we're going to get it in today. Maybe we'll get one in tomorrow. I should mention as well, speaking on the contest front, the wrap-up. In fact, let me pull this up and get the details, because I had it earlier and did not save it as I should have, but here we go. And for the Beat Bick contest, let me give you some of the specifics, because Holly Short sent me a terrific summary of how everything went. So the finals are Saturday, and just under 800 qualifiers, 795 qualifiers. So not a bad for a free contest. A lot of times free contests, draw 3,000, 3,500. And in this case, there's one player that is going to get a NHC seat, 795 qualifiers. And also, we should note, 86 new tour members, 124 people that were eligible. And you still are if you haven't, if you had the offer, and you know, it's important that you, take the, take the opportunity, take the $4.95, the $5 tour join. 124 of you were not yet tour members, and 86, so a vast majority, but, 24, 34, 38 players of you that are going to be involved, you need to take advantage of that, because if you happen to win on Saturday, and if you aren't, you got to be a tour member. So take the $5 and spend the $5. How can you, how can you miss that? The sub contest that we had this year for the first time, the opportunity to win, credits on horse players, Robert Day. He ended up first, 700 points, and it was based on number of times that you either beat me. If you beat me, you got 100, and if you won with me, you got 50. And so Robert Day, congratulations, 700 points, and he came with me twice, and he on his own won six times. And which is pretty impressive, actually. This was that's unbelievable. 8 weekends, and so he essentially went 50%. Is 6 on his own and 2 with me. Chris Olson, so he wins 500, and then 4 players that each get 200. Christopher Olson, Barbara Lardy, Tim Armstrong, all get 200. And then there was a 6-way shake, essentially, a 6-time tiebreaker that for the fifth place to get the last $200 credit. And Keith Van Lannen, he wins because we used a mutual total of the horses that you won with. And Keith had the best of the 6 people that were tied for fifth. Keith had a 101.80, 101.80 payoff aggregate. So he wins the last tiebreaker. So congratulations to everybody that qualified and got some season-long bonuses. We'll know as early, actually, even as tonight. It's Wednesday. So we'll and really... particularly with Kentucky Downs involved. Obviously, Kentucky Downs will be some of the races will be used. And we'll put together and have out as soon as possible the races for the finals. All right? I mentioned Brian Aragone. It's the Minnesota Bred celebration today. And, they've had a rough week weather-wise. And I've got to check and see if the turf is again threatened, which would be really too bad. I'm sure they'll do everything they can to get on the grass. There's also the Minnesota Sprint for the males and females. That's on the main. And you got the Northern Lights. There's all kinds of good things going on. It's a terrific card. All Minnesota bred action. There's also a couple of quarter horse events as well, futurities. So really a nice night of racing. They start at 5:10 tonight. So hopefully Brian is available for us in the second half and get some handicapping and get as Canterbury getting ready to wrap up the season. So I hope we'll get an update too on how they look for the how they look for grass. A few odds and ends before Boyd joins us. Did you see yesterday? It's kind of fun. Marshall Graham took the Trackus information from Derby as we continue to you know, parse and chop up everything that went on in Derby. And Marshall put out, using the feet traveled and the ground loss and everything, and essentially honor AP, you know, who, you know, I guess we termed a bit of a disappointment. I mean, in terms of the expectation of how competitive he was going to be, he comes out ahead when you break out the adjusted times and the feet traveled and so forth. And really, the difference in the race, in addition to some ground loss, because he did, you know, he did travel an extra, what was it? An extra, how many extra feet did he travel? Authentic 66.63. So 40, about, 40, call it 49, 50 feet, essentially. And if Honor AP had broken sharper and gained, after, you know, after you look through this, if he had gained early position and not essentially pulled a Zenyatta and found himself, you know, completely mired, if he had been able to launch himself from a, you know, from a more advantageous spot, he probably, you know, probably is part of the late running. So it, you know, one more thing to, you know, to add to your Derby recapping and understanding. And, you know, I saw where Nick was actually, you know, looking further. We talked Monday, and, you know, the more you look at this, the easier it is to understand, you know, how you got probably about this 2.5, I'd say between second and third most logical result out of this. I mean, I mean, personally, I picked Tiz, had it Honor AP second and Authentic third. And the idea, you know, being that Authentic, if Authentic was going to be successful, he was going to, you know, get, you know, I thought more of an easy lead, not necessarily go as fast early. But then when you see how it turned out, and the fact that, you know, the two of them, Authentic and Tiz the Law, the speed at which they went early did two things. It took a toll on Tiz the Law, and seemed to be just enough, you know, chasing that hot pace just enough early, the first half and first three quarters, 46 and change, 110 and change, 110 and one. It dulled his finish. And I mean, again, I'll reiterate what I've said for 2 days, 3 days. They staggered home. They came home slow. And that's, you know, that's just a reality. And so it's not that difficult to, you know, to see how, you know, the top pair finished. And, you know, those that were Honor AP backers, you know, the difference for him was simply, you know, the sluggish start and, you know, that opening quarter, essentially, and the ground loss. So I thought this was fun what Marshall did. And really, when you look at the top four finishers, they, and with the adjustments made for ground loss and feet per second, I mean, the four of them are barely able to separate them. That includes Mr. Big News. Yeah. So Authentic, literally, when they say the shortest way around, that's what they're talking about. 6,663 feet. and 6686 for both Mr. Big News and Tis the Law, and 6712 feet for Honor AP. So that's the anatomy of this. And you know, the way it's interesting, the way Marshall did the calculations, New York traffic actually ran better than it looked. With the adjustment, he actually ends up sixth. Honor AP, who was fourth, first. Tis the Law, who was second, second. Mr. Big News, who was third, third. Authentic, who won, fourth. Max Player, who was fifth, fifth. And New York Traffic, who was eighth, sixth. Kind of interesting. It's you know, this is why that big data concept, the hopes and aspirations of the GMAC system, this is the kind of information that, you know, has been the hope of these systems, and that it can be utilized successfully, for handicapping. And of course, the GMAX actually has even more with the stride length and so forth. So, pretty cool. I got to go back actually and see what some other. I'm sure there were more comments beyond what I saw yesterday. It appreciate the intelligent analysis. And speaking of the analysis, I also want to get Sid's take while we've got him. Just looking through my notes, the B. Wayne News and Spendthrift story, and I mentioned yesterday, kind of evaluating and understanding the importance, the significance, the ramifications of the whole My Racehorse concept. And Sid did kind of went into the details of of the contracts involved and the bonus program that Authentic has as part of his the deal with My Racehorse. I'll let Sid discuss it because he went through it. It's one of these difficult to determine the long term, what's the long term feel for this. And It sure felt on Saturday night and Sunday and beyond that there were so many people that had gotten involved for the $206. I mean, that felt a part of the Derby. And my sense is that nobody there was expecting to, get checks for tens of thousands, no matter what happens with, with Authentic. So we'll discuss that with Sid. Boyd Browning, Casey's just holding for Boyd, and we'll talk a little bit about the sale. I do want to mention for those that the New York stakeholders, the passing over the weekend, really tough. Richie Brousseau, Frenchie, Quebecois, and had been in New York forever. Worked, worked for years under Bob Duncan, and then when Duncan retired, he took over as the head starter, and had gotten, even really did not get a chance to thoroughly enjoy retirement because he'd been sick, and so hearts go out to the extended family. Private arrangements, and but all the trainer community and the rider and the exercise rider community that have spent any time in New York over the last 30 years 40 years, thoughts for Richie Brousseau. All right, I didn't want that to slip through. We got a couple other things too. We got to talk about hopefully with Johnny Velasquez. Right now, Boyd Browning joins us at the sales grounds, and the yearling market starts in about 45 minutes. 40 minutes. Boyd, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. And, I had held out some hopes of coming to Kentucky for Derby. I kind of had played with staying. I wish I had, but, you know, the wife beckoned, and so I responded. I wish I was there with you, but we're going to keep close tabs. Talk a little bit about the aspirations for the next couple of days.
Well, first of all, we're just thrilled and excited to finally be kicking off the yearling season. Obviously, 2020 has been an unusual year for the whole world, and hopefully today we begin to return some sense of normalcy to the yearling marketplace. Honestly, we're very, very, very excited. We've got a tremendous group of horses on the ground, and the place has been buzzing since showing started Sunday morning. Lots of activity. The right people are here, and I'm as optimistic as I could be, you know, heading into these uncertain times, but it feels encouraging, I guess would be encouraging right now. There's certainly been lots of buyers on it, and there are lots of buyers on the ground, and they seem serious, and, you know, I hope tomorrow night everyone in the industry will breathe a pretty significant sigh of relief and say there's a viable market and restore some confidence.
You talk about the attendance, and I had Bob Baffert on Monday. I had Brad Cox yesterday, and they had both been, you know, perusing yearlings, and said that there felt like, you know, brisk activity. Talk a little bit too about the online aspect, because it really feels like the sales companies with you and Keeneland and OBS have all now had experience with the online on a real polished and instantaneous basis. Are, you know, registrations up for that as well? The international buyers participating. Talk to that side.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we set out to do, and I think the sales company set out to do really collectively, is to try to do everything we possibly could to serve the industry and give everyone one opportunity to participate, a vehicle to participate, whether it was in attendance in person or there was online bidding and so forth. So, you know, we've certainly got basically virtually every horse in the sale has a walking video online. We've got a significant number of people signed up to do online bidding. We've had and enjoyed some success and certainly some activity with the online bidding in the Mid-Atlantic 2-year-old and training sale and the UI Horses of Racing Age sale. And we'll see what level of activity we have over the next 2 days. I expect it to be meaningful. The jury is still out. I never progress or prognosticate on what's going to happen in that regard, but certainly some very serious buyers have signed up to bid online, and that we anticipate them doing so.
You know, you look at the next couple of days, and we should note, let's do the head count and so forth, about 600 plus, and I think so at 662. And today, essentially the first half of today's undertaking is going to be essentially the New York bred sale.
Yeah, the first half, we've got 164 New York breds to commence the sale with. It's a selected group of horses, and there's some real quality in there. Certainly it helps when you have a horse that was a sales graduate of the caliber of Chiz the Law, who's just another one of the outstanding New York breds who are graduates of the New York bred sale that we do at Tracy Tipton. You know, the New York breeders probably suffered the greatest kind of displacement, shall we say, in the COVID year of 2020. You know, we've got the showcase here, and we're going to have a separate session in Maryland of only New York breds. But clearly, there was always some magic and some natural appeal to having the sale in the backyard there at Saratoga during the middle of the race meet, where it was so easy and convenient and so exciting for the New York breeders, the buyers, everybody to participate. So, you know, there's been some displacement there without any question, but I think what we've tried to do is everything we possibly could to create the best available alternatives this year, because there was no perfect solution given the travel restrictions and the quarantine requirements that are in place in New York. that are still in existence, today.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. No. Everybody. That's been one of the most amazing things, Boyd. That from every corner of the industry and in the various racing jurisdictions is how readily everyone has understood the the demands, the imperatives involved. That includes the virtual health certificate for the human attendees, and that appears to have gone smoothly, right? I didn't hear one complaint.
Well, if you talk to a few of us that are kind of on the back side of the event, it might not be such complaints. It might have been some words which can't be repeated on the radio by a few of us, but all in all, it's gone pretty smoothly, and it's the things that you have to do in order to transact business in the world that we live in, and the environment that we live in right now. So we embrace that. You've got two choices at times. You can complain and moan and feel sorry for yourself, or you can go to work, and hopefully we've gone to work. So that's hopefully our motto, and that's what we're going to try to do every day at Phasing Tipton.
Well, there should be some fireworks over the next couple of days. And you mentioned the sibling to Tis the Law goes fairly early, HIP 73, Mission Impassable, and then into the open portion. There is a lot of substance and a lot of major babies that are potentially going to light the board. And if we just keep looking at the Derby, how about the half-sister to Honor AP? Here's the Krikorian selling HIP 648 tomorrow, the Curlin Philly out of Hollywood Story.
Right. Who, as you read some of the horse ran further than anybody else, and if you kind of do the time-adjusted for distance traveled analysis, he may have run better than anybody else in the race on Saturday, but he didn't get the roses. That went to Authentic, who obviously ran a tremendous race. Very, very, very gutsy. All kudos to Mr. Hughes and his team, and to Donato and Bob Baffert and the whole group associated with that situation, and My Race Horse and SF. I mean, it was just a tremendous race. Our poster child, Tis the Law, ran great. Honor AP ran great, who were both featured on the catalog cover. So it was that's what makes it such a great game and a great sport that we play on. On any given day, you don't know who's going to win. We saw horses perform at the very, very, very highest level. We saw humans, deal with adversity. Can you imagine the ebbs and flows of emotions that the Team Baffert and Spendthrift and the Allball group felt, on Saturday with, 1,000 Words and Jimmy getting injured and then, come back and win the Derby. So it's, the highs are really, really high, and the lows are certainly interesting in this game. But the perseverance and the want-to, the can-do attitude is pervasive throughout the industry.
Can't have this conversation without noting the First Crop Stallions that are involved. And notably, Boyd, this is... this is going to be an opportunity when it comes to the Arrogate foals. It's a pretty sad scenario, and going to be just the two crops, and then there's horses like Gunrunner involved, and who else? Classic Empire I mentioned yesterday. People waiting and watching. I thought Dancing Candy should be a success. And Mastery, of course, if you look back to last year and some of the weanling numbers, it's a pretty strong group, it seems, of first crop sires, and that usually draws a lot of attention.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a very, very, very good group, an exciting group of prospects. And the good news is the physicals really match up with the pedigrees on these horses. And, just to kind of touch on the resiliency of the industry and the attitude people have, I texted Garrett O'Rourke today after Arrogate had, tragically died. And I expressed my condolences and told him I was really sorry and so forth. And Garrett responded, "Well, thank you very much. Now our job is to go find another one. Can't wait for the yearling sale seasons to begin." So, it just shows you the makeup and the grit and the determination of of the people in our industry and the owners and the men and women working in it on a daily basis.
Boyd Browning, about 30 minutes away, 25 minutes away from the start of the yearling season and the next 2 days, then Keeneland next week, and then we'll look to the fall. Best of luck to you, your staff, all the consigners, the breeders, and the buyers. Looking forward to to the stories that emerge. It's one of the most fun, parts of the season. It's a little strange for us to be, dealing with the yearlings, in the wake of Derby, but it is interesting that after such a huge weekend of racing, there's a number of stallions that, probably got a boost, with the proximity to Oaks and Derby week.
Right. Now, Steve, I'm going to give a shameless plug. Now, any of your listeners, they can still get online, go to phasictipton.com. They can register to bid online. We can get them processed in time to bid today and tomorrow. They can contact the office. We'll arrange phone bidding. We'll do whatever it takes. If anybody out there is interested in buying a real quality yearling and trying to win the 2022 Derby or Oaks or some magnificent race like that. So we're open for business and we're available.
Absolutely, and we'll also look forward to the action in the fall, as Boyd mentions, phasictipton.com, for everything you need, including the opportunity to register and to bid, and if not this couple of days, Timonium, and there's lots of opportunity coming up, and things, we can't all attend the races yet, but things continue. The industry has been resilient, and certainly Phasic part of that. And Boyd, best of luck to everybody.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Boyd Browning, everybody, and phasictipton.com, and the yearling sales that'll start today. We'll watch for a few very notable hips. And I as predicted, John Sakura, I think we'll talk to him Friday. He said, let's get through this sale. And he's got a busy couple of days, a lot of consignees, whether they bred them or not. And so we'll talk to John, I think, on Friday. Right now, though, absolutely delighted to get a chance to talk to Greg Foley. And Greg had a weekend a lot like a lot like Brett Calhoun, who we talked to on Monday, because he was going to have a Derby runner, and he had chances on the undercards, and that included Sconson. And very much like the result that we saw with Neil Pessin and discussion with Bell's the One, the opportunity to sit back and let the speed, beat each other up. That's exactly what Greg Foley was hoping for and planning with James Graham, and it comes to pass. Greg, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Yep, that was a nice win for sure.
It was easy to see, and the idea that that Monday call and Eanes Philly, Four Graces, they were going to meet, they were going to hook up. So you and James, you had to have been planning, just let's see how much they take out of each other and then come with the run.
Exactly right. I mean, both those fillies are got a lot of speed, and that's what, of course, we were hoping that they would get together and not let one of them steal away from the other, and I don't think either one of them could afford to let the other do that either,
Yeah.
So they went 44 and like that for the half, so and we're ding-donging together, so it's, again, set up good for us. James just saved the ground, kicked her out top of the lane, and she came running, ran a big race. She's a nice filly, and what a good setup. She's ran two awful big races here at Churchill. She ran a race very similar to that against in the AL and company in the spring here. Just ran a super race that day also. So she definitely likes the surface here at Churchill. And a track that come from behind horse got a chance to do that with.
Well, she's never missed a check. And what's interesting and impressive is that even when she hasn't necessarily gotten the hottest pace to chase into, Greg, she still comes. And she, you know,
right.
that allowance win at Churchill, in fact, if you go back to June. I mean, they went 110, and she still got there and then actually blew the doors
right.
off of them.
Right. And then, you know, there are other two races. Four Graces beat us pretty good over at Keeneland, but that short meet they had over there this summer, and Speed was just killing it over there anyway, and not taking anything away from Ian's filly. She's a good filly, but she was on a lead by herself all that day, and nobody really made up any ground coming from behind, but this filly did. She came running and run second. She just, you know, she wasn't going to beat that filly that day like that. And kind of same deal at Ellis, the other filly, Brad's filly. She was on a lead over there by herself, and just, you know, they just weren't coming back. I mean, she run 8 and change over there, and they just weren't backing up, especially if you leave them alone on a lead like that.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you, I'm just looking back at her record, and she has really only been beaten by, we'll kind of shrug off the 2-year-old debut at Ellis.
Race said she had a little heat stroke. It was hot that day and whatever. Shipped over really nice and did everything great. I thought, I don't bet on a lot of my own, but I made a little wager on her that I didn't think she could get beat. And I was really kind of disappointed. She run fourth, right? I think third
yeah.
or fourth.
Yeah.
And anyway, got back to the barn and thank goodness it wasn't a bad one, but she did have a pretty good little heat deal that day, and so you know she had a really good excuse, and we gave her some time after that, and anyway, she came back and broke her maiden at the fairgrounds. You know, it took her a race or two kind of to get back rolling again, and then she was second in a 1X to a pretty good filly that day. That filly ran a monster race that day of Brett Calhoun's that you talked about it a little earlier. She won over here the other day, actually, since then. They tried her long, I think, in stake at Oaklawn after then. She, I don't guess, wanted to do that. But that's a nice filly right there, too. I think you'll see that coming along. But she beat us. Our filly kind of had her up a little close that day, and she just drew off from us that day at the fairgrounds. But anyway, we got back over here, and she's done nothing but blossom over here all summer, really.
Yeah, and you know, all the horses in this division, in the region, we just mentioned Ain't No Elmers, who won that allowance race. There was also... you also mixed it up with Miss T, too, and she won over the weekend, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been some nice fill. Well, the day she won the 1X, I actually told my owner, I said, you watch and see. There'll be some good fillies. You'll see something out of the fillies that were on the board that day. Second, third, fourth filly were, I thought, really nice fillies, and it's kind of coming to pass.
Speaking of the owner, let's get Lloyd Madison in here, and you know, you've had, and we'll talk about, obviously we're going to talk about Major Fed in a minute, but talk about, you know, his you know, the success and the consistency involved, you know, breeds and buys, and this is kind of an old fashioned breeding too, that he took this he took Scani to Include, who, you know, is in the twilight was in the twilight phase,
right? She's actually in Fold Include again after this.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah, Lloyd Madison, these guys, there's three partners, Fred Schwartz, Jim Bakke, Tim Sweeney, and they're all from Madison, Wisconsin. And they actually flew in Saturday for the Derby Day and flew out that evening just kind of because of everything that was going on and that. But I wish they'd have been here Friday for the Phillies race. But, her mother, I actually bought the mama. Her mother, Tiz Now Mare, Scani. Scani was her name, and was a really fast filly that came up with some problems. And beautiful mare, though. And this filly, she's the prettiest filly you'll ever see. I mean, she looks like a colt. She's got a big old rear end and chest, and she just—I mean, she just turns your head when she walks by. She's gorgeous. This filly is. She's a nice, nice filly.
You know, and when you think about include, it's pretty funny. You know, who's at Airdrie?
Yep, he's still there. Yep,
best runners are all fillies.
He's a good broodmare sire on top of that. He can get you a good horse. He's just, you know, he's you know, at the sales, he's dead in the sales as far as, you know, people buying them and that. But as far as a good solid race horse, he can get you a good horse. He always has, and he still is. And it's just, got her back in fold of him. I'm glad she is with this.
There story. You go. You're going to have a...
One just like her.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess this one, they're going to have to call this one Badger something. You got to... you know, it's very funny, too, that the, you know, the mayor, you mentioned Scani, and then the inn, so Sconson, and the fact that they've got the Wisconsin connection is even cooler. What a great way the name came together.
Yeah, well, they named them, of course, and that's where it all come from. But I didn't know what it was the first mare. I said, what the heck? What's a Scani? They say a pretty woman. That's what they call them. So.
I love it. That was the Tisnell mare that you bought.
I'll tell you that. She's a pretty woman. She's a head turner, that's for sure.
I love it. You know, we should also include that, literally, that a career best, I mean, by a big margin. I mean, she'd been developing and she'd been going forward on figs, but she ends up with a 96 buyer in here.
Yeah, sure did.
I don't know if that's going to get her, you know, when we think about, you know, the filly and mare sprint down the road, but it certainly she's going to elbow her way into... you know, the upper echelon with, you know, with some more maturity.
It is, my owners, I don't know. We got to talk about it. There's a really nice race over at Keeneland that hits her really good. The Lexus, run 3-0 filly. It's about the last 3-0 filly race of the year, going 7/8, which is a really perfect distance on her, over at Keeneland. That's a grade two, like two or 300,000, and but they mentioned the Breeders' Cup. I don't know what you're getting in deeper territory there. That's for sure. But I don't, you know, Philly hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah, it's exciting, and you know, on a weekend like this, where you know you're going to have big, you know, you got a big start in the Derby as well. It's nice to knock this one off on Friday, you know, knowing that you were going to be a price on Saturday.
Right, and it did, and then we wound up not running good Derby day, so they were thrilled to win the race with this filly Friday. It sure helped things.
You know, I got to mention, too, and we'll talk about Major Fed, and I want to get your Derby impressions. But, you know, you do go back a long way with the Lloyd Madison farm, because Champ Ali, who I loved.
Yeah, 04.
We never got a chance to talk about him ever before
need
the
horse,
show started. Right?
Yeah, these people, I tell you what, Steve, they're just a trainer's dream, and a lot of people will say that here and there, but I mean that, you don't know how sincerely I do mean it. They're not only owners, they're my friends, and they've stuck through with me through thick and thin. And, you know, there's a lot of thin times in there too. But they're just the best people you could ever train for. They're just, they'll give you their input or whatever, but they pretty much leave it to me. And raise some nice horses, and we buy some yearlings also with September. But they've come up with a pretty good little band of broodmares. They got this, like I said, they got Sconson's mama and Major Fed's mother. We've got her and sisters to him, and a couple other pretty good mares, and got a pretty good little breeding program going. They do.
Well, for those that don't remember Champoli, a millionaire, made $1 million.
Yeah, he was a runner. He was just a runner, period. Fun horse. We had a ball with him. He showed up every time you let him over there, and he just was class act and good horse.
Well, and he took you, you know, you dabbled, you know, he was good at two. In fact, he was an Iroquois winner.
Yeah, they got the Derby fever with him.
Yeah.
He won the race at the Iroquois. And then, you know, back then I was staying here in the winters, and money was still pretty good at Turfway back then. And I stayed home. I had a couple of boys playing sports, and I didn't really want to go anywhere either then. But he won all those series of races at Turfway and the Battaglia and Rushaway and stuff like that. And it, you know, he had a stinking Derby a little bit, but he wasn't going to be a mile and a quarter horse, though. And I talked him off of that. And again, they went along with me, which a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people would have ran him in the Derby and might have, you know, could have ruined him. And anyway, I thought he was in some pretty good spots after that. We won a race like the Phoenix and the Smile Sprint, Calder, and a lot of stakes here at Churchill. And he was a really, really good horse, anywhere from three quarters to a one turn mile. But, you know, most of them were sprints.
Well, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that run up, you know, with the preview and you know, leading up toward the Lane's End.
And he should have won the Lane's End that day. We had I cussed Pat every time I see him. His agent at the time, Doc Danner.
Danner.
I had a kid, old Lumpy, riding the horse that winter. He was leading rider, Jason Lumpkins.
Sure.
But, you know, he won those three, and I saw him. You know, I told him all. I said, Pat will ride this horse Lane's End day. And Doc wound up taking another horse. I can't even tell you the horse's name now. But anyway, we had kind of a tough trip that day. He should have won the race, my opinion, but wound up third or fourth.
He was third. Lion Tamer was behind you, actually. Pat rode... He rode for Pat Byrne.
Pat Byrne's horse is right.
Yeah, Eugene's third son. Eugene's third son.
Right, exactly right. Eugene's third son. But anyway, that's kind of the way that went.
Well, as a four-year-old, he tore off a bunch of wins, and you know, there's a couple of trophies you got that are pretty cool. Were they still calling the WEBN? Were they calling it the Frog?
Frog race. Yeah.
Good. So you got a frog trophy. That's great.
Yeah. That was the Frog race. Yeah, he dominated through that meet pretty good.
Now,
but he was a lot of fun, man.
You know, it's nice to have a client like this. You know, 20 years.
That's what I say, man. They deserve it. They deserve this filly and Major Fed as much or more than a lot of people. And again, you couldn't train for anybody any better. I'll tell you that.
Now, talk a little bit about the Derby and how you viewed it. And you know, Fed, he certainly was coming in nice. And I watched him at least before the rain came Wednesday and Thursday. I thought he looked terrific. What were the thoughts and coming out?
Well, before you get my thoughts on the Derby run, let me get yours real quick, see if we agree at all.
You mean his performance?
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I'd have to go back
I'll look at it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you off, man.
All right.
But, horse went into the race. I thought terrific. I thought... Couldn't have wanted him any better. We're 50-1, all that, I know. But I thought the horse deserved to be in the race. And I'll say that again, too. Anybody knows me at all, he wouldn't have been in the race if I didn't think he did. I wouldn't. First one I ran, first one I got to walk over, all that, I wasn't putting him in there just for that. I thought the horse could be on the board. I don't know about winning, but I really – thought he had a shot to be on the board and deserved to be in the race. James Graham rode him in the Indiana Derby and back on him Derby Day. You can watch a rerun again and see what you think after or whatever. The whole plan of mine, you know, and we talked about it several times, of course. I wanted him to gallop around there about a mile, a little less, and run the last quarter of a mile, maybe last 5/16ths, and pick up all the guys faltering, falling apart, which there's a bunch of them every year, and there was this year. And I don't, you know, my horse hadn't broke well his last few races, and I don't know if that was on James's mind or what, but he put him into the race. I mean, he's a length off the lead coming to the wire that the first time around. He's fifth by in between Enforceable. I don't know what he's doing up there either. And the seven horse, I believe. And they're banging my horse. Looks like a pinball going off of them going by. I was dead there. Coming even before the pinball action starts. You know, this horse is supposed to be back in the pack. Make one big run, and anyway, whatever reason he wasn't, he was up there, and I thought his race was done before it got started, and we wound up 10th, got to be 15 lengths, whatever. James, he pulled it up on him pretty good the last 8th of a mile, just taking care of him, which he should have, but I just wanted to get a, you know, again, I just wanted to see him back in the pack, just gallop around there a mile and finish big, and we didn't get to do that. I just wanted to have, you know, have his best shot at it. And the way the race, way he came out of there like that, and he got banged around. Of course, they got him all up in the bit, the bridle, and doing that. And, you know, I just, he shouldn't have been up there, though. That's my thoughts.
Well, and I don't, you mentioned, it's funny that you mentioned Enforceable, who I thought, and I.
Yeah, he's right by him, so he shouldn't have been up there either. I don't know what he was doing either.
Well, he was my price key that I thought.
Yeah, they're same, you know, they run the same type of race, those two horses, same exact.
So, well, here's
neither one of them did, got that trip. So.
Well, and here's your, it's funny, here's the three word comment on the Equibase chart: keen, jostled, traffic.
Yeah, I haven't watched every horse by themselves, but nobody had a worse trip than him the first 1/8 of a mile, like a quarter of a mile. Nobody, right. But it shouldn't have happened because he shouldn't have been there, but he was. And anyway, that's all over.
Are you thinking, what about Baltimore for you?
Nah, I'm not. We're going to regroup, Steve, a little bit. This horse is only one, broke his maiden. He's A other than.
Yeah.
And his next race will probably be a 1X. Maybe, I don't know if it'd be here, possibly into the meet here at Churchill or Keeneland. That's where you'll see him. Thank God he come out of the race good. He's sound. Well, he's a sound horse anyway, and came out of it good, had a couple little scratches here and there. And other than that, he looks good, licks his tub, good doing horse, and we'll just kind of start over a little bit and go from there.
Well, certainly a satisfying weekend with Wisconsin winning and participating in the Derby, your first Derby starter. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's fun. And also, that attorney Tim is okay, too, we should mention.
Yeah, he's a head scratcher, him, that horse. I loved him actually Derby Day. Race before at Ellis, and the two races before, the Churchill race, he come running, run third, I think. Bottom third or fourth. Both races at Ellis. He got bottled up bad at Churchill. He should have probably won that race. He's a shoulda. And the same deal at Ellis. Came from nowhere, and, you know, and he gets stopped at the eighth pole. I think he probably should have won that day. And kind of the same horses in Derby Day. I thought he had a big chance to run. He got, had no traffic troubles. He got way back like he always does, but he didn't do any running until the eighth pole. I don't know if he had a horse beat turning. I don't think he did. I think he was last turning down the lane. And anyway, he winds up, he ran the last 1/8 of a mile, runs fourth, gallops out in front, and but he's still a colt, that horse, He's getting a little old in age to do it, but he possibly may get a little operation there in the next day or two. I've threatened him with it, and then he'll run a good race. He see McGildan next time, you'll know what happened to him.
I love it. Well,
he's got a lot more talent than what that horse showed. He's actually a brother. He's out of the same mama, Major Fed. All those horses are good. May Lily, Zapparini. I mean, that mare's had nothing but pretty darn good horses. And he is out of that same mare. He's been kind of a disappointment. Got the talent. He just hadn't come through with it.
Well, let me also ask you, because you got one going later today. You're going to maybe head over to Simpson, to Franklin. And, yes, it's Ginger for the Brilliant Racing group. And
Joe
true filly.
And Joe Kay and tag team, that's my sons and myself. We bought in that filly a little bit before she ran her first start this year. And she's been a nice filly. Not a surprise, I don't want to say, but she's ran darn good. She won Croker Maiden down at Ellis and then an 8-1X. I thought she looked really impressive. Both races, her last one, even more. And she won that race for fun. I don't know what she beat really that day. They were okay. But it was just the way she did it with ease. And like I said, took nothing out of her. She came out of the race really, really good. I like her today. I haven't really looked at that race yet. It's a two other than at Kentucky Downs. You know, every time it's going to be a little tougher company. You know that. I think we're 6-1 or something in line, so it must be a pretty solid race.
Yeah.
But I give her a big shot. She couldn't be doing any better. Yeah, she's on her way down there now.
Well, and she's 2-for-2 this year, those two sprints at Ellis, and Brian Hernandez Jr. aboard.
Yeah, Brian. Yep.
Both of them. And so looking for a third win. And boy, she's actually she faced some nice company, including that Stonewood at Breaking the Maiden at to July.
Right.
Nice.
And she's shown speed both times. And Brian will say that too. He said this filly doesn't have to be in front, which would be really good if somebody wants to get crazy on the lead or whatever. But she's made it easier her first two starts there and. One very, very pretty darn handily.
Yes, it's Ginger in the sixth today, 2:55 Central, so 3:55 Eastern, and from the 12th hole. So we'll look forward. It should be a nice day, actually.
Yeah, she is that on the outside, but that's fine there, I think.
Away from the horses for a minute and got to get a couple of, you know, personal things in. And you mentioned the family, and we see the boys active out there on social media and part of the operation, right?
Oh, man, they burn it up, them two. Yeah. They're on top of that.
Well, then when it comes to you, when you're not looking after the horses, you got a pretty nice, I understand you got a nice collection, 50s, 60s era card collection.
Oh, I do. Steve, how'd you know that one? Man, you're up on all of it. Yeah, I collected them as a kid and kind of stayed with it growing up. Got more into it the last, I don't know, 20 years and that. But, yeah, I've got quite a few Topps 50s sets, 60s. And I like the old stuff, the old cards. But, it's kind of my hobby, really.
I love it. You must have mantle cards and most valuable stuff.
Yeah, I got pretty good collection. Alex and Travis, my boys, they when I kick the bucket, they know which closet to get in. They'll be fighting over them.
Well, unless John Nichols gets there first.
Oh, no. Mine's baby stuff to John's. Good grief. Have you ever seen his?
No, I haven't. And I got to say,
it's like a museum. Now, John goes more for the newer stuff, but he's got a lot of older stuff too, uniforms, the signatures, pictures. But card wise, he's into the newer cards, which those things are. He's telling me what one of those things goes for sometimes. You got to be kidding me. And but it's like a museum. His place over there. It's like he's got a bed in there, and the rest of it. We've got his TV room. It's the one watching races. He got TVs all in the room there, and it's a. Yeah, he and I talk a lot about the cards and do stuff like that. But he's got a heck of a collection. I got a nice one, but mine's the older stuff.
Well, tell the boys to put something up. Put up on Twitter a couple of pictures of your best ones. I'd love to see.
All right, we'll do that.
All right.
Got Greg. A lot of Mantles, Ted Williams. I don't know what would be. I guess a couple of my Mantles probably be the couple of those old rookie cards, old Rose rookie cards, a good card,
nice,
and stuff like that. But they're it's fun.
Well,
I don't play golf or anything like that. That's about my main hobby.
And it's a good one, it's funny. I hadn't thought about it until this conversation, but you know the. The opportunity to go to shows is limited right now too, right? I mean, everything's.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's buying online, but it's more fun to go to the shows. That's
it is. That's I found a lot of cards back years back in shows and even the flea markets. Those guys would the big ones
yeah,
would come
way back,
but they don't even do it anymore like that. And online, where you find everything pretty much like everything else now.
No, it's not. That's the interaction, and you know.
Were fun doing that.
Exactly. Well, my collecting days started when I was living in Cincinnati. There was a show right across. There was a show in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Around Erlanger, every 2 weeks, right? And
they had it like a hotel.
I don't even remember, but I would go all the time, and I started a lot of my collections. That I collect all kinds of crazy stuff.
You're the baseball,
a little bit, and in fact, I sent. It's funny. I gave John something that I had for years. I thought he would enjoy, which was. You ever see that that Coca-Cola? It was like a dual collectible, both baseball and Coca-Cola, the Ball of Fame.
Okay, and John's got that?
Yeah, you. Next time you're over at John's, ask him to show you the Ball of Fame.
All right, I'm sure he's got it up.
It's very cool.
He's got so much stuff.
Yeah, I knew he'd love it. And it was, I found that, I want to say Wrightsville, Kentucky?
Yeah.
And I'd go to that show almost every other weekend. And
yeah, they're fun. I love
the best. I know.
I got pictures and balls. I got some nice Mantle. I got a couple of Mantle pictures in my office here at the barn. I hung them up there, and I got some nice baseball. They got 500 home run club and 300 win pitchers ball and 4 or 5 Mantle. Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, stuff
sweet.
Like that. Hank Aaron. So, but anyway, but thinking John, that sucker's got. I don't know how he's got. 1,000 baseballs. Again, mine's baby stuff compared to his.
Well,
now I got a pretty good one for most people, I would think, but his is crazy, man. You could stay take you a couple of days look at all his stuff. You got a nice
Greg,
one.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna come back when I come back for Keeneland for Breeders Cup. I'm gonna tell John I want a tour.
You got a goal, man. You got
all right.
Goal.
I will. Greg, this was fabulous. I've been trying to get you on, and this was perfect. Wisconsin and a huge win, and clearly going to be a major player in the Philly and Mayor Sprint Division going forward. And we'll watch for Major Fed to kind of ease back into it and find a little confidence builder.
He's a nice horse. He'll be fine. You'll hear about him again.
No doubt. No doubt. We'll talk about him again. Greg Foley, everybody, you can follow Greg Foley _ racing on Twitter, and the Foleys, and of course, Sister Vicky, and just as well liked and respected as any family in the game. Greg, thanks so much.
All right, Steve, I enjoyed it, man. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm delighted. Greg Foley, everybody, the long time to come and to get that visit in. Let's take a top of the hour break. They're getting underway at Fasig, and we're going to talk about it. The Derby, we'll talk about the micro-share ownership concept with Sid Fernando. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM.